to praise for them tonight.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everyone. My God, we can just have the word right now. That praise team just tore the house.
Woo!
Now. Put our hands together. Lord is high.
The Lord is high above the heaven.
The Lord is high above the heaven.
And His glory upon the earth.
And His glory upon the earth.
The Lord is high above the heaven.
The Lord is high above the heaven.
And the story of
my
everyone. Praise the Lord, everyone. I said, praise the Lord, everyone. And the next song we're going to do for you is a song called Awesome God. How many know that God is awesome? Come on, if you know that God is awesome, get your neighbor high five. Say, neighbor, God is awesome.
God is awesome.
One person,
can be like Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He recognized his need for God. Hallelujah. Somebody in the house said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and lift your voice. Is he worthy of honor and glory?
Hallelujah.
High and lifted up in all the earth is who you are.
Yeah.
Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Ah, we magnify you. We worship. We lift you, oh God. All over the house in the presence of the Lord, for he inhabits the praises of his people. Let's offer up a prayer of repentance. Everything that's not like God. As we stand in his presence tonight, we are so unworthy of every blessing. And he is so full of grace. Let's pray a prayer of repentance. Look on us with mercy, oh God. Look on us with grace, mighty God. Forgive us for everything that's not like you. Cleanse us, oh God, of all that's not pleasing. Every household, every family, this church family. Forgive me as an under-shepherd, oh God, for all that I am and all that I'm not. Cleanse and forgive us. Forgive us and wash us tonight, oh God. By your name, by your blood, by your unspeakable sacrifice, according to your word that never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And could you just love him and thank him for that amazing, infinite grace and mercy. Mercy everlasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From down in the depth of your soul, could you just begin to love him? Hallelujah. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Hallelujah. Ah, mighty God, we bless your name, we praise your name. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God, glory to God. We appreciate so much this gifted group from ALOC. They're coming all this way to minister to us. Brother Nadar playing the bass. Brother Anthony playing the drums. Brother Gary Ellis Jr. And Sister Genesis and Sister Jennifer and Sister Nia and Sister Shekinah Glory and Sister Gabrielle. Not Gabriel, but Gabrielle. I love their attitude and their spirit. Brother Hines has a connection in the city, and today could have been fishing, could have been sleeping, but he sought out a person in the city of Birmingham, taught him a home Bible study, trying to hook him up with an apostolic truth here in this city. Praise God. Appreciate so much, Brother and Sister Ellis, tonight. Their wonderful testimony. On the way back from St. Louis last week, you go right down 24 and right past the Clarksville exit. And I had to stop. They're building a new building, and I had to go back and kick away the cinder block that was up against the door and go look around. They got a beautiful building going up there, and the only thing wrong with it is it's you're not even in it, and it's too small. But that's always going to be the problem there. That's always in a city full of steeples and old ecclesiastical ideas. The hand of God is on this family, and the word of God is in the mouth of this prophet for his city. God is going to reign and rule in your life and in that church, and by them, he's going to shake that city. Praise God. We're delighted that they're here. Been looking forward to this for a long time. Want him to come, take his liberty, open up the word of God. And everybody, just, if you would, just extend your hand toward him. Pray for the household, the family, the church as he comes. Brother Gary Ellis from Clarksville, Tennessee. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Keep your hands lifted and praise him right now. And just tell the Lord you just want to love him with your whole heart. Just talk to him wherever you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just praise him with my whole heart. Lord,
let me love you
with my whole heart. No one above you.
No one above you.
Praise and love you.
Praise and love you.
With my
whole heart.
your hands and praise.
Come on, just love him with all of your heart. Money, fame, friends, family, houses and land, clothes and cars. Nothing or no one comes before love toward Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Place no one above you, God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Please remain standing as we turn our attention to the word of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Sutton, for your kindness and hospitality. Amen. You all are blessed with one of the finest men of God I've ever met. Amen. Hallelujah. Darius Sutton is one of the most positive men you could ever be around. And you're blessed to have a man who knows how to set aside what is wrong in order to pursue what is right. Thank you, Brother Sutton. Such a fine influence for the kingdom. And this church is so exciting. Sometimes you walk in here, you think you're just going to blow up. Praise God. Lord have mercy. The devil is afraid of folk like you. Amen. I think I know only one other church that gets as crazy as you all. I think they're probably about on the same equal plane when it comes to that. Someplace in Tennessee, they kind of wild. You got to watch them. They're kind of wild. You got to watch them. They're radical. Hallelujah. Appreciate you so much. I want to turn your attention to the book of Job, chapter 23. And I want to start reading at verse number 1, Job chapter 23, verse number 1. When you have it, say amen. If you can turn me up just a little in this monitor here, just a little bit, right here. You're getting there. Well, man, you are right on point. The Holy Ghost is going to bless you tonight. Amen. You know, sound men have one of the most difficult jobs in all the church. I don't think anybody appreciates how difficult their job is. And the worst thing you can ever have is a sound man with thin skin. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You got to have a sound man with the skin of a rhino and the heart of a dove. You know what I'm saying? They've got a tough job in a Pentecostal church. And if this was one of those denominational churches where you can almost nod and look like you're spiritual, it wouldn't make much difference. You can talk through a bullhorn and blow folk out of church. But in Pentecost, you got to have loud, clear sound. Amen. So sound man, thank you so much, sir. Job 23 and 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before the Lord and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. And there
the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. And on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Turn quickly to the book of Job, chapter 1 and verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth thou, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth now thy hand and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he had is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth not thy hand. And Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I want to preach tonight a very simple thought, and just for a few short minutes. God believes in me. Look at your neighbor and say, because God believes in me. Shake hands with three or four people and say, friend, God believes in you. God believes in you. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and praise the name of the Lord and make a lot of noise and praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I need your presence. I need your wisdom and counsel, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. Scriptures are very clear that we have an enemy who is set in his heart to destroy the saints of God. The Bible refers to him in many ways, two of which perhaps illustrate his danger and his tactics. The Bible calls him an old serpent who makes war against the saints. The Bible refers to him as a roaring lion, which goeth about seeking whom he may devour. It is his desire and his plan to destroy the saints. He does so by wearing you out. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus was talking to Peter, he says, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Because Satan desires to sift thee as wheat. But when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And as you look at scripture from the beginning to the very last verse, you will always find some sort of negative encounter for the righteous. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible said that those who love God, and I'm just paraphrasing here, those who love God can just about bank on persecution. Amen. As many as are godly shall suffer persecution. As sure as the day is long, you will suffer. And Jesus said you've got to have a right attitude when people lie on you, when people persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For his name's sake. It doesn't qualify this as enough circumstance for you to backslide, walk out on God and say, because people have been so wrong. Jesus said, you've got to have this attitude. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward which is in heaven. There are many times in Scripture where we find that the people of God will suffer what appears to be hideous and scrutinizing kind of persecution and falsehoods and misunderstanding and all-out lies and persecution of every kind. And you have to wonder why. Have you ever been through so much you ask yourself the question, why me? What on earth did I do to deserve what I'm going through? Has anybody ever been there? Or maybe two or three people have been through something. I can tell you that if you've never been through anything, it's because you've never done anything. Amen. Non-achievers never have to worry about jealousy. Non-achievers never have to worry about envy. Do-nothings never have to worry about anybody trying to hold them back because they ain't going away anyway. Can you say amen? But if you've ever tried to do something right, you will face difficulty. And most all of your difficulty will come through people. Can you say amen? That's what I found to be so interesting when I began to study the book of Job. You will discover when you read books like Job and some of the other Old Testament books, their history and the dialogue and the language that is used is sometimes so intriguing. Job is perhaps one of the oldest books. It's a very old book, one of the oldest book in the Old Testament. In fact, scholars say that it's written in perhaps the most difficult and archaic Hebrew language in the Old Testament. You notice when you read the book of Job, there is no mention of the law. There's no references to Abraham or to the covenants. It is said that Job is maybe possibly dated somewhere in the neighborhood of 2100 years B.C. The book of Job, though it was written before the time of Moses, gives us some kind of insight to what people knew about God before there was any written knowledge or written revelation of God. Because Job was written before the time of Moses had written the laws. Can you say amen? But when you study the book of Job, it suggests that human beings knew God as a personal, transcendent God, as a personal, transcendent master over the world he created. And as the creator of men, God permits us the freedom of choice. And has given us the freedom of choice, he holds us morally responsible for our choices. Tell your neighbor he holds us accountable. That's what responsible means. Responsible means responsible. You are able to control your response to whatever happens around you and to you. Can you say amen? You can't control what folk do, but you can control how you react to what people do. You can't control what happens outside of you, but you can control what goes on inside of you. When somebody says, I couldn't help myself, they are in trouble. For the Bible says, if a man has no control over his own spirit, he is like a city that is without walls. He has no protection. Can you say amen? And being a moral being himself and giving us the power of choice, God both punishes evil and rewards those who do right. God is a loving God, and he can be approached, and he forgives those who repent and who turn to him. But God has a way he wants to be served. And he has a reason why he wants to be served. And God is intent to prove that to prove whether you are serving him for all of the right reasons. Can you say amen? Giving us the freedom of choice and the right to approach him the way we choose is God's way of saying, I don't want you to serve me because you have to. I want you to serve me because you desire to. Cain and Abel is a perfect example of the freedom of choice and how our attitudes can be revealed in the presence of God when we approach him. The Bible says these two boys brought up in the same home, under the same influence, under the same doctrine, in the process of time, began to worship the Lord, and they brought their offerings unto God. Can you say amen? Now, I've got to tell you this. There's a big time fallacy on how people quote scripture. God is no respecter of persons. God is a respecter of persons. Now, what he means by no respect of persons, that means that it doesn't matter who you are, everything still applies to you. That's what no respect of persons mean. That if you are rich, you still need the gospel. If you're poor, you still need the gospel. If you're white, you need the gospel. If you're black, you need the gospel. If you're young, you need the gospel. If you're old, you need the gospel. If you're influential, you need the gospel. If you're nobody in your city, you still need the gospel. That's what he means when he says there's no respect of persons. But God is a respect of persons on this wise. The Bible said when Cain, or when Abel brought his sacrifice, which was the sacrifice that God ordered, the Bible said God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But Cain, the Bible said, under Cain, God had no respect under Cain nor his offering. Now notice, it wasn't just his offering he didn't respect. He didn't respect him. I wish I had somebody saying amen. Amen. Oh, God, help me. I got to be careful because I'm not at home, but I'm going to act like it anyway. But Sutton told me I could. He told me I could. Bishop told me I could. So I'm going to cut up a little bit. And I can see this now because when God dealt with Cain and rejected Cain's offering, rather than Cain realizing he was dealing with God. And sin can mess up your mind. Sin can put you in darkness so bad that you don't even know you're dealing with God. I wish I had somebody understood what I was talking about. I heard one man said that sin puts people in darkness, and the darkness that comes from sin is like a blind man walking into a dark room looking for a black cat that's not even there. When you are in sin, you're in the kind of darkness that is like a blind man walking into a dark room looking for a black cat that's not even there. Sin can mess up your mind. You don't believe what I'm talking about. And Cain did not realize he was dealing with God. Rather than repenting, here's what Cain's attitude was. He got angry. He got wroth. And God said, Cain, why are you angry? Why are you full of wrath? And why has thy countenance fallen? Right. Now, just in case you didn't get this, those people who say God's not looking at the outside, pay a close attention again to what God said. Right. Why are you angry? Inward emotion. And why is your face so jacked up? I wish I had somebody saved enough to smile real big. It doesn't matter how you look. Can you say amen? And Cain's attitude was this. He was angry. He was angry and bitter. And if it was 2006, here's what it would sound like. God, I brought you all of this fruit that I worked for. Look at my hands. They're blistered and they're torn and they're bloody from digging in that hard ground. Look at my knees. They're bruised and battered because crawling around on that hard ground all of this time to bring you this fruit. My neck is scorched from the sun. My back is burnt and my body is weary. My joints are sore. I've worked all day, all night, all week to bring you this offering. And you say you don't like it? It's just like some of us tonight who, oh, I got to help myself. I got to be careful now because some of us come to church with the attitude, I've been working all day. I've been slaving on my job. I've been putting up with all kind of hell. I've been going through every kind of devil you can imagine. Then I get to church and you're going to tell me, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You ought to be glad I even came to church. No, baby, you ought to be glad you got feet. You ought to be glad you got hands. You ought to be glad you got a voice. You ought...
That's why the Bible said, let everything that has breath. The only requirement for praise is not a good job, not a good friends, not a good family, not lots of money. The only requirement for praise is breath. Let everything, every rich thing, every poor thing, every broken thing, everything. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God offers us the privilege of serving him and the right to choose how we approach him, but he doesn't have to accept our approach. He still has a way and a reason that he wants to be served. So yet even though through tradition and vision, Job and his friends knew much about the Lord, ultimately God remained hidden. You know, it's important to know, the Bible says we have fellowship in the book of Ephesians. We have fellowship with the mystery. The word fellowship means companionship, a closeness to. We walk hand in hand with a God we can't fully understand. We walk in companionship to things we don't have an answer to. We just have to walk in confidence that God knows all about it. Can somebody say amen? And in the book of Job, we see the mystery of God's working with people and how we explore the suffering of a man who loved God, a man whose good friends couldn't understand why God would permit him to suffer the way he was suffering if he was truly innocent. I'm impressed with Job. I'm impressed when I study Job. He was a pious man. He was a wealthy man. And as was common in those days, Job served as the family priest. You have to note that his material wealth had not caused him to be lifted up with pride. But in fact, what happened with Job's riches and Job's prestige and Job's power, it seemed to have deepened his sense of humility and his own awareness of sin. You know, I wish some of us could realize that when we got a good job, it was God that gave it. That when we got lots of money, it was God that gave it. When we got a little name recognition, it was God that gave it. When we moved into that fancy home, it was God that gave it. I wish I had somebody saying amen. But rather we start saying, look at what I've done. Look at my achievements. But God had a man who thought otherwise. And it deepened his awareness of sin. In fact, Job regularly offered sacrifices to God to cover the possible sins of his family. Say possible sins. It amazes me. It just amazes me. I've only been pastoring 23 years. Not long. But I do have a couple of days experience with this. It's never ceased to amaze me. All those people who says, I know I'm not perfect. God's got a lot of work to do on me. And as soon as you point it out, they offended. I'm yet to understand that. I know I'm not perfect. I know I got sin in my life. But don't you tell me I do. Who are you to tell me I got sin? Has that ever ceased to amaze you, Brother Sutton? I don't know. I don't understand. I like this one. I like this one. I like this one. I know I ain't doing what I'm supposed to do. But at least I ain't over here doing that. As though God gave you some checklist of authorized sins. Isn't that the arrogance of humanity? Can somebody say amen? Amen. But Job was so fully aware of sins. I like this one too. Parents with these bad kids. I had bad kids. That's why they ain't bad no more. I knew how to take care of that business. I knew mine was sinning. Come on, somebody say amen. I knew they were sinners. Every time they looked at me and even blinked a lie, I was going to whoop that lie right out of them. You know what I'm saying? Just. Now, I'm going to hurry. I ain't going to stay on this thing too long. But now I've been pastor long enough for people to come in my office, tell me what kind of trouble they're having out their children. And, oh, pastor, I need some help. I need some counsel. I need some wisdom. Please pray for me and my children because I want to raise them right. And sometimes they just do this and they do that. You know, my children, so da-da-da-da. And as soon as somebody else say, you know, little Johnny did this. Uh-uh, not mine. Uh-uh, not mine. Man. Touch your neighbor and show us a neighbor. All have sinned. Say, all have sinned. That's you, your children, your husband, your wife, your mama, your daddy, your Uncle Johnny. Everybody has sinned. So don't come in the church acting like you got it all together. You need to come in the house of God recognizing that only God is without sin. Job was wise enough to realize that no matter how close he was to God, he knew that sin was in the nature of man, and his children could sin, and he daily offered sacrifices for his children. Even though he knew nothing of his sins, actual sins of his children, he knew they could. He knew the deceit of the human heart. Say the human heart. This brings me to another lie from the devil. A lot of us have bought into it. You know that old lie that says you got to do what you feel in your heart? You know that's a lie that says you got to do what you feel. Because if you don't do what you feel, you ain't being real. And you got to do what you feel because ain't no use in going to church feeling one thing and acting like something else. You got to do what you feel. If you feel in your heart, you got to be real with yourself. So do what you feel in your heart. That is one big bald-faced lie from the devil. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me tell you why it is a lie. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know your own heart. Your heart and my heart is always up to no good. The Bible says, in fact, and I'm paraphrasing this, there were three bodies of angels. There was the angel of communication, which was Gabriel. The angel of war, which is Michael. And the angel of worship, which was Lucifer. And God, in the book of Isaiah, had to deal with Lucifer. He was Lucifer, the son of the morning, the brightest angel in heaven, the worshiper. The Bible said every precious stone was his covering. He walked to and fro in the midst of the stones of fire. He was the anointed cherub. But one day, he thought he was more than he was. So the Bible said he said several things in his heart, in part of which was, I will exalt my star, my throne above the stars of God, and I will be like the Most High. He said it in his heart. And when he said it in his heart, the Bible said he was cast down to hell. And that's when an angel became the devil. There was no devil until an angel said some things in his heart. There was no devil until an angel gave in to his heart. Pay real close attention to me when I say this. The devil is not always the one messing up your life. He's not always the one messing up your family. He's not always the one to keep you all backed up against the wall, broke down, discouraged, and heartbroken. If he can just whisper something in your ear and get you to do what's in your heart, he can just moonwalk out of your life and leave you to destroy yourself. You don't do what you feel. Safety is in doing what God said. The law did not come to restrict you. It did not come to build a fence around you to keep you in. It built a fence around you to keep sin out. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when we meet Job, we find this striking scene. We see Satan coming to present himself to God to make his report. And at this time, God directs his attention to Job. He directs Satan's attention to Job. Where have you been, Satan? Walking to and fro in the earth. I'll put it in for you. Seeking whom I may devour. Trying to find somebody's life to mess up. Where have you been? Trying to find somebody who I can turn against you. And you know, I come to report to you today. I've got a few under my belt. I got a few who thought they could handle it, who thought they loved you, who said they loved you. But I tested them, and I come to find out they loved the house you gave them more than they loved you. Because as soon as I took the house, they took off. They loved their husband more than they loved you. Because when he said he didn't want to serve you, they decided not to serve you also. They loved their friends more than they loved you, because when the friends talked about them, they walked out on you to keep the friends. Yeah, I found out there were a few who didn't love you like they said they did. Well, I want to ask you a question, Satan. Have you tried Job? Now, you tested a few, but I want to ask you, have you tested my servant Job? Now, and there's a difference between those who claim to love me, and then there's a difference between those who I already know are my servants. Have you tried my servant Job? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you why. Let me tell you why. Because he's blameless. He's upright. He's a man that fears God and shuns evil. Have you tested Job? And Satan says, how could I? You know full well I couldn't test him, because you have set a hedge around him. Touch your neighbor on the shoulder and say, neighbor, pay real close attention. The devil can't even whisper in your ear unless God gives him the go-ahead. He can't get to you unless God gives him access to you. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you be dismayed. If God let him in, God can kick him out. Woo. Lord, have mercy. I came because you set a hedge about him. You've protected him. You've guarded him. Satan said, now, does he serve you for no reason? I mean, does Job serve God or fear God for naught? That's what he said. Does he serve you just he's serving you? I'd say not. You let me touch him like you let me touch everybody else. I'll make him curse you to your face. Touch your neighbor and say, whatever you do, you do it in God's face. Mm-hmm. You not slip. When you do something, when you walk out on God, you walk out on him to his face. See, can you say amen? Yeah, but if you let me touch Job, I'll make him curse you to your face. God said, let my imagination run. God said, you don't know Job like I know Job. Job doesn't serve me because he has a big house. Job doesn't serve me because I gave him the wealth of the land. Job doesn't serve me because he has money, prestige, honor, and reputation. Job serves me because I'm God. Oh, I wish I had somebody saying amen. And I tell you what, Satan, all that he has is in thy power. Do you just hear what God just did? God just said, everything that belonged to Job, I'm giving you the power over it. I'm going to hold back all my angels. I'm just going to step back and let you do your thing. With all of his money, his children, his friends, his family, I'm going to let you do your thing. I'm going to show you what kind of man Job is. And in one day, all of his livestock, gone. All of his cattle, his camels, his possessions, gone. His children, dead one day. And what did Job do? Job did not go out and get drunk. He didn't storm out the house of God and say, where is God? What's the use of serving God through all of this? No, sir. Job didn't go change clothes to go to the club to have a good night on the town to try to relieve himself of his pain. No, sir. Job got on his church clothes. That's the answer, my friend. When all hell breaks loose, get on your church clothes. Get on your shouting shoes. Get on your dancing robe. The Bible said Job built him an altar, all right, and he began to pray. All right. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Right. Do you realize that it wasn't, God, Job didn't mention the devil? Because he knew the devil couldn't get to him unless God let him in. I wish I had somebody saying amen. It's the Lord that giveth, and the Lord that taketh away. It's the Lord that giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be. The name of the Lord. That was over. Satan walks back into the throne room, disgusted. And I kind of picture this. I'm just trying to let my imagination run. I can kind of picture this. Satan looks at God, and God has this smirk on his face. See? I told you so. He said, now let me tell you something, God. He said, a man will do anything for his life, though. Now, you took his possessions, his kids, and all his money. But a man will do anything for his life, for his own person. And don't you know I'm telling you the truth? People will do anything for their own person. God goes back to drawing board. Said, see, you got it all wrong, devil. Most people would. But not Job. Do you understand? I'm trying to tell you about a man that loves me. And you can't bring anything into his life that will stop him from loving me. You can't bring one storm that will stop him from loving me. You can't bring one trial that will stop him from loving me. He said, I bet you I can. You let me touch Job like you let me touch everybody else, and I'll make him curse you to your face. And in one day, pulsy, sore boils covered Job from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Job's appearance was so hideous and so ugly. He looked like he was in such pain. His wife said, Job, dost thou maintain thine integrity? Don't you know people expect you to quit on God at a certain time in your trials, experiences? And listen, you gotta be careful who you let talk into your life when you are going through trials. Come on. I better say, you better be careful who you let speak into your life when you're going through a trial. Don't you let nobody tell you God can't bring you through. Don't you let nobody tell you God. And let me tell you, the worst enemies of faith, the worst enemies of faith are people who really love you and care about you and hate to see you hurting. The enemies of faith are not your enemies. You won't listen to them anyway. The worst enemies of your faith are people who love you, who care about you, and don't want to see you hurt. And much of their counsel comes from their own desire to see you overcome or come out of the hurt you're in. And their counsel does not come from God. Change churches. Stay home a while. Why don't you wait till this is over with before you get involved in ministry? Don't do this. Don't give that. Don't do this. Don't work there. You just go away because I hate to see you going through this. And then you start talking about the Lord confirmed it. Because my auntie, who's a prophetess, and my uncle, who's a bishop, they confirmed this. Shut up. God ain't never sent nobody to tell anybody to quit. If they're not telling you, hang on in there, baby, you leave them alone. If they're not telling you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, leave them alone. There's no confirmation for quitting. There's no confirmation for talk of unbelief. If they're not telling you, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's bad counsel. If they're not saying, I will bless the Lord at all times, it's bad counsel. If they're not saying one thing, have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's bad advice. Still, Job had not formed his lips to deny God. This is the last we hear of Satan. Two chapters, we talk about Satan. The next 28 chapters is a dialogue between Job and his friends. You might not know where I'm going. Oh, man. I'm running out of time, man. Okay. Touch your neighbor and say, friends, don't know God like you know God. Now, they might know God the way they know God, but they don't know God like you know God. Somebody say amen. See, they don't have any idea what God is preparing for you. I wish I had somebody saying amen. They don't know that God is preparing you for an elevation in your blessings. They don't know God is trying to take you to another level. They don't know that God is trying to exalt you to another place. Tell your neighbor, leave me alone. If you're not going to keep me in the church, stay away from me till I make it through this. If you're not going to keep me faithful, now, let me tell you something. Friends can put the squeeze on you, and they don't have to say a whole lot. You say, no, that's not true. Listen, some folk can't stand folk to look at them wrong. You ever heard somebody say, I came to church, and people just looking at me strange? Anybody ever heard that saying? People just looking at me funny. I just felt so uncomfortable. I want you to picture this. Job was in such bad shape, his friends came. came, and I can see them on the way. We better go encourage Brother Job. We're going to go see Job, and we're going to pray for that brother, encourage him and lift him up in the Lord. And you know, they probably start off with the best intentions. And we're going to lift that brother up. We're going to pray for Brother Job. And we know he's going through some things right now. We heard the reports. He lost his kids, all of his finances, everything is in bad shape. We're going to go pray for Brother Job. We heard he's sick. And they get to Job's house. And Job looked so bad, they sat for 7 days and look at him. Now, I'm gonna tell you something. You're not really paying attention to this, because what if somebody just came and just looked at you like? See, I didn't even hit 30 seconds. She already turning bread. Imagine 7 days, man. I bet they stirred in shifts. You sleep and I'll stir and I'll sleep. And then this dialogue goes on where they're trying to convince Job that the reason why he's going through is because his life has somehow been ashamed, or he's somehow sinned against God. Touch your neighbor and say, it's not always sin. Sometimes it's just because God believes in me. Sometimes I'm going through what I'm going through because God trusts me. God has confidence in me. God knows. Woo! Come on, clap your hands and praise him. Tell somebody, because God believes in me. Not everything we go through is because we've done wrong. That's the devil's biggest trick, is to make us believe that we're wasting our time trying to live for God, because we're confused. Why me? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? In fact, Job's testimony was this. Today, tell your neighbor, today is my complaint bitter. My feelings, my heart is broken. My life is twisted. I'm hurting. I'm heartbroken. I'm confused. Today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Has anybody ever been where I'm talking about? You're hurting in such a way you can't even explain it. When you open up your mouth to try to tell somebody, you're not really trying to be a crybaby. I'm just trying to tell you what I'm going through, and it still comes out like you're trying to be a crybaby. I wish I had somebody. And I'm not trying to doubt God, but it still comes out like you're doubting God. Has anybody ever been through so much you just can't seem to get it right? You can't explain it to anybody. You can't talk to nobody about it. And tell your neighbor, because God did it. Because God did it. Sometimes God don't want you talking to nobody else about it. Sometimes God is not going to let nobody understand it. God's got a work for you. God's got a job for you. God's got a miracle for you. God's got a blessing for you. God's got a gift for you. Come on, clap your hands and praise him. Oh, feel the Holy Ghost here. And that's why Job begins to say with all of his heart, oh, that I knew where I might find God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You just need to find God. You're going through things you don't understand. You've got feelings you can't explain. Your wife don't understand it. Your husband don't understand it. Your family don't understand it. Your friends are confused about it. But I need God to show up and help me understand what I'm going through. Has anybody ever been there? And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and it seems like your prayers don't get anywhere. Has anybody ever been through that? You pray and the heavens feel like brass. It seems like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Can you say amen? Can I tell you the real truth? That sometimes God just will not respond. Sometimes God won't answer. He does this on purpose. But my Bible declares, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Sometimes God just won't answer. Sometimes he won't put a word in the mouth of the prophet. Sometimes God won't give you saints to encourage you. Sometimes God will remain silent. Why? Because the Bible said he wants you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, it's up to you. Do you want a miracle? It's up to you. Do you want a breakthrough? It's up to you. Do you want to make it through? It's up to you. The Bible says a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Can you say amen? So God will not let him. God will not always answer the prayer. So then the Bible says, Job says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Say forward. See, I teach a thing. I teach that when you are going through a trial, there's four things I believe you ought to apply to your life depending on how you're dealing with certain situations. I believe in dreaming big. And the reason why I believe in dreaming big is because God made you with a great big mind. The Bible said he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. One man said that in the human mind is made in the constitution of the human mind, that whatever you can conceive in your mind, you can achieve in your life. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, dream big dreams. And you got to learn how to build your dreams on your hopes and not on your hurts. You got to learn how to dream great big dreams, because God gave you the power to see the end from the beginning. You ought to go on and say amen. God's got a ministry for you. God's got a blessing for you. God's got a business for you. God's got a career for you. God's got a right husband for you, a right wife for you. God's gave you. So when he said, I look forward, Job was saying, in essence, I tried to dream. I tried to look beyond where I am and see into the future. I tried to see what God may have had planned for me. Can you say amen? But he is not there. That's Job's perception. Then he said, I went backward. Tell somebody backward. And I tell people that if you're still feeling down when you tried to dream your dream, tell somebody, never let go of your dream. Never let go of your dream. But if it doesn't change your perspective, then look back. And I'm not saying look back into your past, because some of us look back at the wrong things. We look back at the rape. We look back at the abuse. We look back at the molestation. We look back at the deceit. We look back at the disappointment. That's not what you look back from. Not but what you look back to. Because when you look back, you need to look back at what he brought you out of. If he brought you out of that, you ought to look back. If he brought you through it, you ought to look back and say, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can say I've been blessed. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Say amen. But then Job says, I cannot perceive him. I look on the left hand where he doth work. I teach another principle. The reason why so many people are in trouble is because they are idle. I wish I had a witness here. Because if you're not doing anything for God, you wind up doing it for the devil. Can you say amen? And so I teach people a principle that I found it in the Psalms. The Bible said truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, neighbor, you need heaven to help you now. And the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And you and I, we are but earth dwellers. We have no power over the devil by ourselves. He's faster, he's stronger, he's more experienced, and alone we cannot defeat him. So when he gets on our back, we need heaven to come get him off our back. Come here, you're a big man. You're a big man. Give me somebody small. Come here, brother. Come here. Stand right down here. Stand right here. You stand up here. Now I want you to turn around this way. Now I want you to lean down on him. Put your arm. Lean down on him. Huh? You can't get that great big old dude off your shoulder by yourself. What you need is heaven. Come on here. You need heaven. Come on up here. You can't get him off by yourself. Can you say amen? Come on up here. You need heaven to help you. You need some help from heaven. And heaven is above the devil. The devil is above you because he's the prince of the power of the air. You are an earth dweller. You are in the physical. He abides in the realm that you can't live in by yourself. And so you need protection in a realm that's above him. Can you say amen? And the Bible said when truth springs out of the earth, righteousness looks down from heaven. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. So if you want victory in your life, you got to start learning how to labor and spread truth. I've yet to see a soul winner defeated. I've yet to see a soul winner discouraged. I've yet to see a soul winner give up. I've yet to see a soul winner turn back. So when you start spreading truth, heaven looks down and gets the devil off your back. Say, neighbor, get busy, get busy, get busy, get busy, get busy, get busy. God believes in you. But I said, now, if that don't work for you, he said, because he hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Said, the right hand. The right hand represents the power and the authority of God. Tell your neighbors all in the name. Say, it's in the name. The Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Say, it's in the name. The right hand is his place of power. He said, then when everything else has failed, so, teach your name, say, just call on the name of Jesus. Just trust in his power. Say, trust him. Trust in his power. Say, his power. That's why the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In his right hand is power. In his right hand is healing. In his right hand is deliverance. In his right hand is your understanding. In his right hand is the keeping strength. In his right hand, say yeah. But none of that works. And I'll tell you why. It didn't work. It didn't work because it's still working. It's working God's plan. He's not working on your schedule. He's not working in your realm of comprehension. He's not working in your realm of understanding. Can you say amen? God's working out a new plan for you. And in order for God to work out a new plan, he's got to take you to a new level of faith. Can you say amen? And you can never.